What are you going to do now? I meant with your future.
Your life.
Well, that's a little hard to say.
I just want to say one word to you. Plastics.
I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or processed, or process anything sold bought.
But the question remains, what are we going to do now? Fellow graduates, the answer is simple. I don't know.
1.6 million people are expected to get an undergraduate degree this year, and that doesn't even count the advanced degrees. Let's match this with the fairly frightening economic numbers. In today's workforce, there are approximately 5 people out of work for every available job. Lindsay Pollack joins us now. She's an author, speaker, and career consultant. Her book is Getting from College to Career, 90 Things to Do Before You Join the Real World. She's in our studio here in the real world. Lindsay, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So for the generation that's coming of age, that's walking down the aisle with the cap and gown and excited about graduation, but maybe not so excited about looking around, how is this an opportunity and not the worst luck in the world?
You know, I understand the students who feel like it's the worst luck in the world because we've lived through such boom times in their life. The way I see it as an opportunity is there was sort of this funnel system for so many years that certain companies would recruit on campuses. It was easy to get those jobs. You would slide into those positions. And 5 or so years later, you'd say, wait a minute, why am I doing this? I didn't choose it. So I think the opportunity is for all those students who want to make a conscious choice about what they want to do. There's nothing to lose right now, so you might as well try to find your passion.
So the skill that you learn in these economic times, in these pomp circumstances, is that you get to choose your future as opposed to just sort of coast into something and then wake up in middle age, maybe a tortured soul.
I think that's a piece of it. I think the other really important piece is to learn resilience and to learn that things aren't always good. These students really have lived through times where it seemed that you would always just move up and make a lot more money. And I think the skill they're going to learn is resilience and persistence and survival through difficult times, which is something they haven't had to learn quite yet.
So the reason I'm such a great person is I graduated in the 1970s during the last
Absolutely.
Really horrible recession.
Look where you are
now.
Thank
you very much.
You know, what came to mind for me was the folks who lived through the Great Depression, and we're going to be talking later in the show about some projects about food in the Depression era. But, you know, there were some incredible articles recently with people who lived through the Great Depression and just had to learn how to cope on a fundamental basis. Some people have talked about young Americans having too many advantages and becoming over-reliant on expectations of success. But I want to also ask you about generations. How are we even defining the generations of people? What groups do you see, demographically as some people talk about millennials, Gen Y. What are we really talking about in terms of ages?
The age of the graduates this year, Generation Y and millennial in my mind are the same group. You're generally born 1980, 1982 or later. And what's interesting about this generation is they had been told their whole lives that they were going to move up in the workforce, move up in the world, and the boomers were on their way out. And what's happening is now the boomers aren't going anywhere in the workforce. They're sticking around in those jobs. So you've got Gen Ys born 80s and 90s, Gen Xers born 60s and 70s, boomers, even some traditionals still in the workforce, and it's getting very crowded.
And this orderly procession of everybody moves up, boomers out of the way, has suddenly completely broken down. Well, how does that manifest itself on the very different populations in college right now? You've got people who are in college, maybe Ivy League, but not exclusively, who are looking for a credential. Maybe it's a little bit of an abstract credential, a badge to take into some sort of sense of privilege. But you've also got people who are looking for a specific set of skills, be they physicists or be they engineers. And maybe they're at the community college level, but they could also be in the Ivy League. How does your advice change depending on the reasons people are in college?
You know, it's a great point. You've got first-generation Americans. You've got a lot of students who are the first in their families to go to college who are paying for every dollar of it themselves. And then you have up the chain to the more privileged students who can go back and live at home and maybe coast for a year through the recession. So you've got to think about the reasons.
Which are
people.
You?
No comment.
I see.
A combination of both, I would say.
Well, if you're paying your own dollar for college, I mean, you've got to make it count because you're not going to get another shot.
Well, interestingly, what I'm seeing at college campuses and technical schools is that those students have been working throughout college. So they have a lot more experience, a lot more connection, so to speak, in the real world. And most of those kids have jobs lined up because they have no choice. And I think when I give advice to the more privileged students or those who maybe don't, quote, have to work, I always tell them, look at your peers, look at your classmates. They have found jobs. They're out there. You just might need to start at a level that you weren't expecting.
And work experience is a great tool to get you into the workforce regardless. So students who worked through school are often better prepared regardless of what trades they were actually in.
Sure, realistic. You know, whether they were waitressing or working at a bookstore or pumping gas or anything, you have real experience. You understand the day-to-day. You have the stamina to start at the bottom and move your way up. And I think to students who can't find jobs, there is no shame in starting in an entry-level position. Wherever you are, you can make the most of it. And that's what those other students really have proven to me.
Last question before we go, and I did a lot of this when I was in college. What's the dumbest thing you can do, the real kind of like bad decision you can make right now if you're a graduate?
In my opinion, the only bad decision you can make is being paralyzed and doing nothing. As long as you take some kind of job, move forward in some way, you can make the most of it. The worst thing you can do is sit in your dorm room playing video games and just hope that a job will come to you.
All right, Lindsay Pollack, author, speaker, and career consultant specializing in Generation Y career and workplace issues. Her book is Getting from College to Career, 90 Things to Do Before You Join the Real World.